This is The Kickoff.
With Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Build up to the Merseyside derby with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Morning to you, Scotty.
Good morning, Steve.
The Reds haven't been talking about this one. I don't know whether the Blues have in any detail this week. Of course, Liverpool attention has been very much firmly fixed on the Champions League quarter-final. How important is it for them? What do you feel from an Everton perspective building up to this derby? Is it a bit strange?
It is, in a way, because there's nothing riding on it, is there? It's probably one of the most meaningless Merseyside derbies in modern time. Liverpool more or less cemented fourth place, haven't they? And Everton mid-table going nowhere. So in terms of anything riding on the game, well, there isn't. But for the fans' perspective, I've seen a lot of nonsense, shall I say, on Twitter saying, oh, I'm not bothered who wins this and I couldn't care less about... I'll ask these same people at 12:25 tomorrow, 5 minutes before the kickoff, when the Liverpool end will be bouncing, the Gladys Street will be bouncing, the atmosphere will be electric, teams are coming out, Zed cars is on, whole world's watching, and the atmosphere will be there. And that's what Merseyside derby should be about. And you should, whatever division, whichever competition, it's a Merseyside derby, and you want to win, and you want to go into work on Monday morning and give a helpful leather towards the Liverpool or Everton fans, and that's the way it always should be.
I mean, from an Everton perspective, there's a bit of pride to play for that, particularly after the way Everton were humiliated by City last week in the first half as well.
Of course, and I think it's the season overall, Steve. I think these players owe these supporters so much this season because they've been back to the hilt, sell out every single home game, every away game packed, and the fans have just had nothing to shout about. Bombs out of Europe early, eliminated out of cup competitions, and the season's been a disaster considering the amount of money that was spent. So I just think Everton players who go out there at half past 12 tomorrow owe these supporters big time. If there's one thing you can do this season, put a smile back on these faces and give them a bit of pride back, and hopefully they can do that.
Right, off air, we were talking about who might win, and you came out with the most outlandish comment. You said one of these teams will win by a massive margin. To which I said, not a chance. There's no way that Everton are drubbing Liverpool tomorrow.
I just feel Liverpool will make wholesale changes. I think they make about 7 or 8, obviously, with the big game on Tuesday. They can't afford to play your Salah, your Mane, your Firmino. But having said that, Klopp made exactly the same thing in the previous fixture at Anfield this season, and he was lambasted by the commentary and all the pundits when he made them changes. Firmino didn't start, Coutinho didn't start, and I remember him bringing them on towards the end of the game, and Everton salvaged the 1-1 draw, which meant there was big pressure on Jurgen Klopp to get more points after that. So I just feel as if Liverpool were to make big changes, 7 or 8, which I'm predicting, it could come back to bite Jurgen Klopp on the backside, because the last thing Liverpool want to be going into in an important match on Tuesday night is on the back of a heavy derby defeat, and nobody wants that.
So if you're Jurgen Klopp, what are you thinking?
Are you thinking,
I protect my main players? So Mo Salah's not going to play, obviously.
Salah's not going to play. He's obviously going to be resting.
Firmino probably should be rested.
But apart from that, Steve, who else gets rested? He can't afford to rest Van Dijk. He can't afford to rest Lovren because he has no other backup. Mm. So he's got to play them.
He can rest Trent at right back. He could rest Andy Robertson at left back.
So I'd expect Moreno and Klein to come in. Yeah. I'd expect Karius to drop out and Mignolet to come in.
Would you?
Yeah.
You think he'd change the keeper?
I think he'll change
just
the
for
goalkeeper.
That game.
Yeah, I think he will. I really do. And I also think he'll... Jordan Henderson should play because obviously he's missing on Tuesday anyway. The three in there, I'd say Wijnaldum will start because he didn't start on Tuesday. And it could be Woodburn, it could be anyone. But I expect Solanke and Ings to start as well. I think he may hold team changes, but he's got to be careful because I think the way this game's going to pan out, if Liverpool's to score early, I think they'll dominate the game and Everton's heads could go like they did last week and they could concede 3 or 4. If City needed to score 9 or 10 last week, they could have easily done it. Everton's heads went, the fans' heads went, everyone went. I just feel as if Liverpool to score early, that'll be it. It'd be the 3 or 4, which I'm predicting. But if Everton were to score early, I think the players who haven't been in the team, their heads could drop and it could be...
So if Everton score early and Liverpool have a weakened side,
I think
then you think Everton could actually...
go for the kill and get 3 or 4.
which would be absolutely fascinating. And Everton's team, I mean, is there any team selection issues there at the moment?
If the team should visibly pick itself, really, Steve. You've got the back four, which should be Keane, Jagielka, Baines and Coleman. Obviously, Pickford in goal. There's been rumours that Adjusa Guy might start coming to the fold after being knocked through injury. Wayne Rooney plays well if Adjusa Guy's next to him and Tom Davis. If Morgan Schneiderlin's next to him, it's just not going to happen. Obviously, Rooney's got that creative spark Everton desperately needs, but he hasn't got the legs. We all know that, but he can keep the ball and he can put a pass through where none of the other midfielders can. So I'd expect Rooney to start. If just a guy's fit, expect him to start. And Tom Davis for energy and legs, who come on second half last week against Manchester City and did okay. Up front, I wouldn't be surprised if Dominic Calvert-Lewin starts instead of Cenk Tosun. And I spoke to a couple of lads who... There's a lad in work who watches a lot of Turkish football, and he was saying to me, oh, Cenk Tosun, he was saying that if he doesn't score in the match, you just don't see him. He's like a Van Nistelrooy type of striker. Apart from scoring, he brings nothing to the table. Now,
he's not a workhorse. No,
he gets about, but he's not mobile enough, and he needs a good pre-season under his belt. But I look at games like last week where if he's coming up against the top quality defender, as in Vincent Kompany, he's not going to give him an inch. If Cenk Tosun gets half a chance, he'll better you. But if he's not getting that half a chance per game, he's not bringing anything else to the table. Evertonians who are listening and may disagree with that, but I'm looking and thinking, if he doesn't score in a match, what's he bringing to the table? Where I look at other centre-forwards, your Harry Kane's of the world, your Agüero's, your Firmino's, they're doing a lot more.
You can only afford to be that centre-forward if you're scoring 20 goals in the season.
Of course, and I don't think Everton make the chances that Cenk Tosun will score 20 a season.
So Dominic Calvert-Lewin offers a really different package there, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think he'll trouble Dejan Lovren. As we've seen in the last derby, obviously his hands went on penalty, etc. Whether it wasn't. Oh, let's go back there once more.
We'll start this again.
I just feel as if Dominic Calvert-Lewin will work Dejan Lovren and Virgil van Dijk more than Cenk Tosun. And then if you're getting beat or you draw, and then you can throw Cenk Tosun on and go two up front. But one thing that didn't work last week, Steve, is Calvert-Lewin playing in behind Cenk Tosun. Calvert-Lewin was like a number 10. Never worked. It was just awful and the tactics were shocking really. And City just scored three in the space of half an hour, and it should have been a lot more because Calvert-Lewin didn't know whether he was coming or going, didn't know whether he was a focal point, didn't know whether to drop in deep, help Rooney and Schneiderlin out. So it was just a mess, really.
I hope Dejan's got his head screwed on for those naughty tactics by Dominic Calvert again. Don't want to see any of that. I was left as a lone figure arguing on Dejan's behalf.
Where you deserve to be on your own arguing that argument, Steve.
Okay, let's have a look at some of the odds. Are we going to get a feisty derby?
I'm not sure. I think there'd be one or two yellow cards, basically because Michael Oliver's in charge. Now, let's have a look at the betting in this one. Everton 7-2, Liverpool 10-11. Now, I look at Liverpool at 10-11, thinking, regardless of if you're looking at this as a neutral betting fan, if you're making 7 or 8 changes to a team, Liverpool should not be odds on. It's basically Liverpool under-23/first team against a mid-table Everton team. So Everton 7-2, being backed in, believe it funnily enough, because obviously Liverpool will make changes. Now, I can throw all the stats and facts at this one, but it's quite difficult because Liverpool are going to be under strength. So it's quite difficult to gauge how Liverpool will play, how they'll set up, it'll be in their formation. So I think what we can look at is that 4 of the last 5 derbies at Goodison have ended in a draw. Liverpool, believe it or not, Steve, are unbeaten in 16 matches against Everton.
That's in the Evertonian heads, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's mental. It's mental. And it's with the fans as well, by the way, because they know it. I think if that first goal goes in tomorrow morning,
their heads have gone as well.
Fans streaming out that ground. It happened last week against Manchester City. 2 goals went in and the crowd left. But this, believe it or not, this is the longest run without defeat in Liverpool's history against Everton. You wouldn't believe that on a month of Sundays, would you? So let's have a look at the tips for this one.
Sorry, when was the last defeat?
Mikel Arteta and Tim Cahill. David Moyes and Roy Hodgson. That's how far we are going back. The last time Everton won a Merseyside derby. Quite shocking, really.
I banished the Roy Hodgson days. I don't remember those.
Quite similar to the Sam Allardyce days at Everton. Right, what have we got here? Yeah, tips for Everton versus Liverpool. Michael Oliver's in charge. Now, this fixture's seen more reds than any other fixture in Premier League history. Now, it'd be quite easy for me to say Tom Davis, Wayne Rooney, get on them local lads, getting the foot in. The odds are shocking, Steve. 5-6 and 5-4. No goods, not a working man's price for me and you. I'm giving you Alberto Moreno as a bit of a price, 5-2. Now, I think he will play. I'm sure he'll play. And he'll be up against Theo Walcott as well. It's at Goodison Park. And I expect Michael Oliver to dish his cards out. Not as many as what people are predicting, because he's quite card shy, looking at the stats this season. But in big games, I've noticed Manchester City versus Tottenham, he threw 7 out. Manchester United versus Manchester City in the Manchester derby, he threw 6 yellow cards out. So when it comes to the big games, he gets his cards out in the bog average Premier League matches.
Yeah.
He keeps them close to his chest. So I'm going for betting this one. Alberto Moreno was 5-2 to be carded. Over 3 goals is what I'm going for.
Right.
It's 5-2. And maybe a little bit of an interest is Leighton Baines. Now, we come close last week against Manchester City, free kick specialist. Obviously, Sigurdsson won't be playing, so we'll be on Everton's free kicks. He'll definitely be on the penalties as well. He's 25-1 to score the first goal. You'll be able to get 7 or 8-1 for him to score any time as well. So if Everton get a free kick, or dare I say a penalty, 25-1 first goal scorer.
I was having this discussion the other night with someone at Anfield about how back in the, I don't know, the Sammy Hoopier days, you'd get like 25-1 for Sammy to be first scorer. But if you try and look for a centre-half now to be first scorer, it's like 6-1.
No value, no.
No, all of a sudden, the bookies have gone, we're not giving you anything here.
But
Baines, that's
it's
great,
really
isn't
good
it?
Odds, Leighton Baines. I don't think majority of bookmakers have cottoned on to the fact that it will be on the free kicks as well, obviously with Sigurdsson being out. Mm. He'd be on the penalties. Haven't got a penalty in the previous fixture at Anfield, didn't he? So I wouldn't be surprised if the likes of a Moreno or a Klein or a Lovren make a bit of a rash tackle in the box. Next minute, Oliver buckles under a bit of pressure at Goodison. Penalty given. Leighton Baines, 25-1 first goal scorer. Bit of value. I'm not saying that's obviously going to happen, but at 25-1, it's worth a few shilling.
Are you thinking both teams are going to score in this game?
Do you know what? It's the first 10 minutes is going to be the be-all and end-all of this game. Honest. I'll be looking at it. I'll be up there and I'll be thinking the first 10 or 15 minutes will totally pan out how this goes, because it'll be first goal of winner for me. And if Liverpool score early, the atmosphere will just evaporate out of Goodison. It'll be like turning the volume down on your television. And that'll be it. Everton fans will pour out the grounds, and I think Liverpool will take over and win comprehensively. But I feel if Everton score early, the crowd will get behind them. They'll smell blood. They'll smell this weekend team. Their heads will go. I think Everton will take over. So I think the first 10 or 15 minutes in this match is absolutely crucial.
I think you've already convinced yourself that Liverpool are playing a weakened team.
I may have been told. I was told that a lot of the players who were in training yesterday were not wholesale names that you've heard of. A couple of under-23s drafted into the squad.
Right.
So don't be surprised if there's more than 5 changes, maybe 6 changes in the Liverpool set.
Which I think Liverpool fans will be absolutely fine with, as long as it doesn't go heavily wrong.
Well,
that's the issue.
Well, this is
it?
What happened in the game at Anfield. And Jurgen Klopp made changes. Coutinho and Firmino were dropped, rested, so to speak. Everton got a point, and Klopp was criticised.
And he had his outburst that night,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He let loose and he had a go. And listen, we all get things wrong at the time. When the camera's on you and the mic thrown underneath your face about 2 minutes after the whistle, you're going to say heated things. But if you were to probably ask Jurgen Klopp now, he messed up on the team selection in a big game. It's a Merseyside derby, and I don't care what anyone says, you want to win that. But I can see the logical sense of they've got a big game on Tuesday, a massive game. But what Liverpool don't want to be going into a massive game on the back of a humiliating derby defeat. I think if you were to ask Klopp right now, would he take a 1-1 or something?
Oh, of course
he
would.
Probably would.
Of course he would. Now, Big Sam's reputation rests with the fact that he continually harps on about the home form. And he even sort of claimed that the second half last week was a good performance, didn't he? Did you hear that?
Yeah. Was there. Some of the comments.
Which is ludicrous.
Some of the comments.
City could have just upped that another 50%, couldn't they?
If City needed to get their goal difference up to win the league tomorrow, they will win the league tomorrow, obviously, if they beat Manchester United. But if they needed to win 8-9, they'll do it. But some of the comments, they didn't sit well with Evertonians, and I can see why, because there was one where I was sat there and thought, did I hear that right? Did I actually hear that right? And it was, if we get anything against the top 6, it's a bonus. And as an Everton fan, spending the best part of £250 million in the space of 18 months, they don't want to hear that. They've heard it from David Moy, they've heard it from Walter Smith, they've had nothing to shout about for 20-odd years. So the last thing they want to hear is their own manager saying, it's a bonus if we get anything from a top 6 team. They don't want to hear it. Because deep down, they know themselves, we're not good enough. But the last thing they want to hear if was the man from above who's meant to be sending their players out with that winning mentality to beat one of these teams.
No other whispers at the moment about summer changes or...
Just Fonseca's the name on the horizon at the moment that Everton are looking to bring in. I heard today a rumour, it was on last night, that this Brands fella from, he's like a managing director, sporting director, who's at PSV. He will be coming over to work with Steve Walsh, which is interesting.
With him,
yeah.
Not instead of him,
with him. Which obviously, and I feel sorry for Steve Walsh in a way, because he was a scout at Leicester. He was brought to Everton, not as a scout, as a sporting director. And it hasn't worked, obviously, because you've got more responsibility within your role and contracts out, etc. Now, if this fella from Holland comes in and gives Walsh a bit of an hand and says, listen, you get back to your scout and picking these players, etc., then maybe it can help Everton. But Fonseca's the name on the list. Apparently, he's high on the list that Everton wants in the summer. That's obviously if they get Allardyce over the line, just basically see his contract out in the summer.
It's probably been financially okay for Steve Walsh. You don't need to feel too sorry for him.
I don't think he'll have to work against Steve.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, let's take a look through some of the back pages of the papers with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo. Let's start with the Echo itself. And there's a picture of Phil Jagielka, Yannick Bolasie, Seamus Coleman training at Finch Farm yesterday. Let's make Evertonians happy is the headline. Inside Kevin Ratcliffe's column, embarrassed to be a Blue after display. It was embarrassing to be an Evertonian on Saturday night. I never stay in on a Saturday night. But after that one-sided demolition by Manchester City, I just couldn't go out. I actually did, and I was getting questions fired at me all the time. What's going on? As a result, Sunday was the worst I've ever been as an Evertonian, as a supporter. These are harsh words from Kev Ratcliffe.
They were harsh words.
Yeah. Could you not go out last week?
I went out. I can understand from an ex-player's perspective, because they must get harassed all the time, mustn't they? When Everton get beat or Liverpool get beaten, someone sees them in a restaurant or a bar, can have a picture with you, etc. And the next minute, hey, what's going on at our club? Like, what's going on? What do you think of him and all this? So I can understand that side of it, but listen, we got beat 3-0. End of story by a half-decent team. But it was the manner of it, and I can understand Kevin Ratcliffe's comments. It was the manner of the defeat. They didn't try a leg, did they? They were just getting schooled. And if you get at City, which Liverpool proved during the week, like Wigan proved, you can get at them, have a go. It's the attitude and the application. If you get beaten 3-0 and have a good go, then fine. But Everton didn't lay a glove on City, and that was the manner of the defeat which hurt them.
Right, also inside the Echo today, David Prentice, the top man, the head of sport, is writing about season ticket sales. A season to be cheerful for the Blues. Everton are on course to top last year's record-breaking season ticket sales, despite one of the most disappointing campaigns. It's a very strange one, this, isn't it? You expect when there's frustration and annoyance with the players, the manager, the form, that season ticket sales drop off, and yet Everton seem to be bucking that
trend.
What's that about?
Well, I think with this new ground on the horizon, people may keep their hands in them, because from what we're led to believe, when this stadium comes, obviously the first season tickets will go to the lads who have got them at Goodison Park, so I can see why that. But it's, do you know what? This generation of supporters have had nothing to shout about for years. Now, myself, I've been brought up on relegation fights. That's what I've been known when I've been watching Everton. The Howard Kendall third term, obviously Mike Walker, and that's what I know in Everton growing up. So I've seen one trophy in my lifetime. And these generation of footballers, Everton fans, sorry, I just feel really sorry for them. I sympathise with them. And they go home and away, travel up and down the country. They've been to Cyprus and Italy and everywhere this season. And I've been absolutely embarrassed home and away. And it hasn't been good enough. And I don't know how. The club should thank themselves, really lucky that they've got so much loyal supporters, because no other club I can't think of would go on a run of not winning a trophy and have disappointment seasons after disappointing seasons and still carry on with having the season tickets and the waiting list that they have. They're just so
What's
lucky.
The waiting list now?
8,000.
Amazing, isn't it? Let's get on to the Times this morning. Outstanding Ozil leaves Arsenal on brink of semi-final. Can Arsenal win the Europa League? They beat CSKA Moscow 4-1 in the first leg of the quarter-final last night. That included a spectacular Ramsey goal as well.
It did, yeah. You just fancy Arsenal to be when in the mix when it comes to this final. And it'd be a lovely swan song, wouldn't it, for Arsene Wenger if he was to win this European trophy, guarantee Champions League football next season. And that'd be it. You can get I think it'd be nice for him to almost announce it a couple of weeks before, say, listen, I'm going the end of the season. I know he's got another year left on his contract, and I think if they just give him that 2 years to stop the press and the fans and the pressure on him to being asked that same question all the time of, oh, are you going at the end of the season? So they give him that 2 year contract. I think if he was to announce, I'm going at the end of the season, the amount of support that he will receive from within the game, from neutral supporters, from neutral football clubs, obviously everyone bar Tottenham, that will want him to win this Europa League.
Yeah, but he's thinking, I win this, and I'm the saviour again. Everyone loves me once again.
Exactly. This is what managers need to become stubborn, don't they?
It doesn't work. Also, a brilliant piece in the Times today about Trent Alexander-Arnold. Comes of age to repay Klopp's faith. And a great picture of Trent when he's, how old do you think he is? Six, seven
there with Steven
alongside
Gerrard.
Steven Gerrard. You think, gosh, at that age, he probably never knew what was coming his way. But Paul Joyce has written this. There's a story about Trent Alexander-Arnold, a tale of which he might not even be aware, that perfectly encapsulates the teenager standing as one of football's wonder kids. In January, when Liverpool pushed to bring forward Naby Keita's move to Anfield to offset Coutinho's transfer, Leipzig officials responded with a request of their own. They suggested a deal involving Alexander-Arnold would be a solution to smoothing Keita's early arrival. Liverpool dismissed that one out of hand.
I bet he did. What I like about this kid is his application and the way he comes across, the way he talks to the media and the way he condones himself. And it's quite difficult, and especially in this day and age with social media, etc., that you've got a young 18, 19-year-olds coming through and the expectation on him, let's see what this kid's about in the academy, let's see how good he is. And he's come on in, he's took it all in the stride. And it's quite easy. I'm trying to think of it from my perspective. If I was 18, 19, breaking into the Everton team, you'd probably, I don't want to start come across as hypocritically, but you'd probably come across, you become big-headed with yourself. I'm this and that. And you can see why a lot of players think well of themselves when they become teenagers and break into the first team. Mm. And they go by the wayside. This is why Everton have got Tom Davis as well. He's very much in the fold of Trent Arnold, that they keep themselves to themselves. You don't see them in town, boozing, drinking, coming out to nightclubs. You very rarely see that. They've got the right people around. They've probably got the right agents, got the right family, and got the right friends. And that is crucial in this day and age. And you're easily seeing the players out to Liverpool and Everton's academy where it's gone the other way, where they've gone out all the time, got into trouble. Next minute they know they're playing in lower leagues. Whereas in the likes of Tom Davis and Trent Arnold, they've seen that and their application is the opposite.
Absolutely. Joe Gomez, you put him in that frame as well. There's a good little line in here. I never knew this. Trent Alexander-Arnold, who was six when his name was pulled out of a hat at St Matthew's Primary School to attend a competition at Liverpool, where he was subsequently signed by the club. So it was fate.
There you
go. Got drawn out of a hat.
So no scout's going to take the credit for him, I'm sorry.
Another piece in the Times. I've got some good stuff in here today. Paul Joyce has written this one as well. Players hid in the aisle during bus attack. No one can condone what happened to the Manchester City bus midweek. I'm presuming at some stage there will be some video footage of those who were involved in throwing items, missiles at the bus, which smashed the window. But it's talking about how Manchester City players scrambled into the aisle of their coach for fear of being hurt as beer bottles and flares were thrown. Pep Guardiola and other City officials are furious with police for failing to stop a number of Liverpool fans throwing missiles at the team bus. I'm not quite sure how the police would have stopped individuals throwing missiles. You're talking thousands of people on the street. The City manager sarcastically thanked Liverpool security staff and police after he got off the coach. Thanks very much for protecting us. Thanks for what you've done. Thanks very much, Guardiola said. That was in footage obtained by Spanish TV station Gol. He also said, shame on you as well. But of course, the investigations continue into that. And I really hope there's no repercussions in Manchester.
No, I don't, and I hope it's not. I think it's quite difficult when you see, I know what you just said then, Steve, about the people who've obviously thrown missiles. It's quite difficult when there's thousands of people on the streets to identify someone who's done it, unless you've got conclusive footage of that person who's throwing a bottle or throwing whatever at the bus. But I just think that there's a line. Well, obviously, there was rumours of the two coaches coming in. They were meant to be coming through the Spello laneway, wasn't it, as they normally do. And it got changed last minute, didn't it? I think that that highlighted when Merseyside police, and he tweeted it out and made a press release saying they're going to be going this way. Was there a need to do that? You could easily have said, listen, the Liverpool team coach will be going this way and that's it. Now, I just think Manchester City could have went another way. Mm. There was, surely to God in this day and age, there's another way. Or it would, could why couldn't Manchester City got there 4 hours before the Liverpool fans turned up? Surely you must have, I know that I'm not trying to condone, obviously what happened was wrong.
No, but there must have been a better
There must
process.
Have been a better way yeah. for this to have gone around, for Manchester City to enter that ground, than going through the Arches, going through thousands of Liverpool supporters. And Liverpool fans shouldn't have done what they did. But what I'm trying to say is that they should have been dealt with a lot better than what has been dealt with.
A couple more back page headlines. The Mirror this morning. Unlucky 13 for Sergio. It was disaster for Sergio Garcia. He took 13 on one hole. Joined the normal golfers club there. Then claimed he didn't play a single bad shot. And actually, if you watch them, I don't think he did. But he's way off the lead at the moment. Jordan Spieth leads in the Masters. Also, RIP Eric. Phil Taylor was left devastated after his mentor, Eric Bristow, the first superstar of darts, died from a heart attack at the age of 60 last night. Just a thought on that, because you were watching the darts when yep. this came up, and you were a little bit surprised, weren't you, that it just continued as normal on the TV?
It was quite surreal, Steve. I was watching it live on the television, and obviously when the commentators, I think Peter Wright was on at the time, and the darts was happening, and I was sitting there watching it. Obviously, because it was in the Echo Arena as well, you watch it even more, don't you? Going, ooh, what's going on in the background, etc. And then the next minute, I'm watching the darts match, and then if we've got some terrible news filtering through in the sport world, and you're going, whoa, what's going on here? And it flashed up on the screen, like Bristow has passed away. Wow, that's big. He's huge. Probably the biggest icon yeah. to ever play darts. Unbelievable. The sport's where it is now, thanks to the guys like him. And it just kept filtering through, and I'm going, why are they carrying on playing here? Is it just me, or is this a bit weird? And then it was filtering through to the fans, because obviously everyone's got phones these days. They get news quicker than what whenever before. So, and then all the fans at the match started singing one Eric Bristow and et cetera and something, and this is surrealist. This is probably one of the biggest icons ever to have played the game of darts. Yet there's a darts match carrying on live on Sky. And even the commentators are quite shook up because they didn't know whether to commentate on the game itself.
Or talk about Eric.
Exactly. Yeah. And they were talking about him, and then they were going back to the darts, and they were going, well, I hope this game is a draw, which would be quite fitting. There shouldn't be anyone should be winning this. And you could see that the commentators, they were a little bit jumped up a bit. I felt sorry for them, and I did sympathise with them because they didn't know what to say because it was filtering through. And I just felt it would have been a nice appropriate for to just abandon the game and stop it. But listen, it carried on, and the Liverpool crowd were unbelievable singing Eric Bristow's name, and it was quite fitting that obviously everyone knows what the people of Liverpool are like, obviously, and things like this happen. So it just felt as if that was my opinion. I just think the darts match shouldn't have went ahead when it filtered through. I just think they should have called it off.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Radio City Talk.